Again, it's great to see you all this morning. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at the Azalea City Church. I do want to say that it's been a great start to the morning. It's great to look out and see so many special people here with us today. I know that there are a lot of things that are being started as far as sermons, series, and sermon topics as we enter into the month of December. And I took a little bit of a different approach with it today. I'm going to speak the next couple Sundays on a subject that I believe is escalating this time of year, and that's the subject of anxiety. Why would we talk about anxiety? Why would I start a sermon series in a joyful month on anxiety? Well, there's a lot of reasons why, but first of all, this is the time of year that people receive gifts. They receive, they make lists, children make lists, I guess some adults make lists, and they turn those lists in to Santa or whoever else that will listen. And they will be excited. They will be counting down the days. They'll be asking Mama and Daddy and whoever else, when are we going to get some presents under the tree? And those kinds of reactions happen. But this time of year, there's usually one or two responses. One may be like this, That's the natural response of children. I'm so excited. I can't believe it. This is the best gift ever, But then there's some adults that feel this way, right? And that's kind of the reality of where we are. We're either excited or we're anxious. We're concerned because anxiety affects us all. We have been taught that the Christian life is a life of peace. We know that. We see it in Scripture. When we do not have peace in our lives, you know where we assume the problem is? In our Christian walk. I mean, it just makes sense, right? Here I am, I'm living the Christian life. God, I'm putting you first. I'm worshiping. I'm doing what I can. And then all of a sudden, something hits. Something in the world goes wrong. Something in our lives goes wrong. It flips us upside down. And all of a sudden, we do not have peace anymore. So the logical conclusion, at least, that we try to rationalize in our brain is, well, the problem lies within. The problem lies in my spiritual life. Not only do we feel anxious, but we also feel guilty about having anxiety. You see, that's a struggle. Because when we come to the conclusion, hey, what I have is I'm anxious. I am anxious about Christmas. I'm anxious about my job. I'm anxious about my family. I'm anxious about my health. All these things happen, and then we realize, well, I've got anxiety. Then I remember verses like, be anxious for nothing, and now I have guilt because I have anxiety. You know what happens with that? The result is a downward spiral of worry, guilt, more worry, and more guilt. It's enough to make us wonder if the Apostle Paul was out of touch with reality. Now, understand, he wasn't. But it makes us wonder, was he out of touch with reality when he wrote Philippians 4, verse 2, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. You know, it would have been a lot easier, right, if he said, be anxious for less. Or be anxious only on Thursday. Or be anxious only in seasons of severe affliction. But that's not what he said. He said in Philippians 4, he said, be anxious for nothing. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable. It's unavoidable. But the prison of anxiety is awesome. Okay, let me say that again. The presence of anxiety is unavoidable. There's going to be anxiety. We're going to be in the presence of it. We're going to face time. But the prison of anxiety is awful. Let me say this from the outset. Anxiety itself is not a sin. It's an emotion. Okay? So here's the conclusion of that. We shouldn't be anxious about feeling anxious. Anxiety can, however, lead to sinful behavior. Sometimes when people are anxious, they find comfort in food. And so we overeat. We become ones that we will just eat and eat and eat, and that becomes unhealthy. Sometimes the emotion of anxiety leads to sinful behavior in that we allow our anger to get to sinful levels. We lash out at people. We lash out at those who love us the most. And we allow this anger to escalate, and we fail to be angry and sin not because we say hurtful things and we say things that may tear someone down. Anxiety can lead to substance consumption. There are a lot of anxious people today that choose to bury it with a man by the name of Jack Daniels. Anxiety can lead to sinful behavior. Luke 21, beginning in verse 34. But take heed to yourself, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. He said, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be so weighed down that you go to carousing and drinking and doing these kinds of things. You see, it's been warned because God knows His creation. He knows our struggles. He knows our needs. He knows our DNA, the way we're made up, the way we are, the way we react, the way we get anxious. Let me ask some questions. Are you laughing less than you once did? Do you find yourself laughing less? Do you see problems in everything? Would those who know you best describe you as increasingly negative and critical? Do you assume that something bad is going to happen all the time? Do you dilute and downplay good news and doses of your version of reality with doses of your version of reality? Many days would you rather stay in bed then get up. Do you magnify the negative and dismiss the positive? Given the chance, would you avoid any interaction with humanity for the rest of your life? We answered yes to some or all of those. I've got a passage for you today. I want you to turn back to Philippians chapter 4. And let's read together. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, I would love to say, here's the passage. Get over it. I wish we would be that easy. But it's just not. It's just not. Now, let me tell you, I'm going to take a side here from my notes and tell you, I know what it's like to struggle with anxiety. I've said this before. I know what it's like when anxiety goes into depression. Okay, I've opened up about this in sermons. I've opened up about it on podcasts. I've opened up about it wherever I can because I want to shout it from the rooftops, okay? Because I've been helped. Now, some of you may have answered yes to those questions, and you do not need to be helped clinically. I did, okay? And I still require that help. I do take medicine every day of my life. That doesn't mean that I'm ashamed of that. It's just I'm thankful to God for chemists and pharmacists and everybody else that helped find the right type of medication to help me have serotonin levels that are balanced out. There are chemical imbalances in people's brains that when they bottom out, they cannot find pleasure, and because of that, anxiety builds into depression. If that's you, then these passages alone will not help, will not fully help. You might need some clinical help. Don't be ashamed to seek it out. Don't be ashamed to be the best you can be for our God, for your husband, for your wife, for your family, for your friends, everybody around us. But for those of us that want to know about this passage, and we want to break it down, I believe I can give you some things today that will help us all when it comes to this anxious time of year. Again, anxiety is something that is unavoidable, but falling under the prison of it is an option. We do not have to stay anxious. By the way, anxiety is a first cousin to worry. Worry, we can cross over the lines, right? Anxiety is an emotion. Worry is when we can't sleep, when we can't get it off our brain, when we can't think straight. But today, I want to give you 4 points that I believe will help us all when it comes to Christians battling anxiety. Number one, we need to celebrate the goodness of God. Look back at the passage, Philippians 4, beginning in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I want to ask you right now, do you have a lot to rejoice about? You know, when a person is anxious, when a person struggles with anxiety, and they feel trapped by it, what happens is you become a negative person. There was a time in my life I was a very, very negative person. For instance, when Beau was small, Madeline was even smaller, I would be home with my children, maybe get off work, and they're out of school or out of daycare, and I go outside with them. And I'm spending some time in the yard with them or spending some time playing with them, my mind would easily become distracted and lose reality of what God has blessed me with. And then I would focus on something minute, like how bad my yard looked or how bad the flower bed looked or how bad something else looked. And because I had all of this anxiety and I had no serotonin and I was feeling all this, I could not see the good that God has blessed me with. And listen, I feel like I'm as spiritual as anybody, okay? I'm not patting myself on the back. It's not a question of faith. It's a question of what am I gonna allow myself to be imprisoned by? You see, when you and I see the goodness of God and we learn to rejoice even in bad circumstances, it helps us not become negative, or it helps us not being trapped. Because what happens is the devil wants nothing more than for us to be miserable people. He wants us to have miserable jobs. He wants us to have miserable marriages. He wants us to have miserable families. He wants us to be miserable. He wants us to find negative at church. He wants us to find negative everywhere we go. And unless you've been one of those persons or been around one of those persons, you might not understand that, but it's a miserable way to feel. It is. So what do we need to do? We need to realize we've got a lot to rejoice about. We do. We've got a lot to rejoice about. But sometimes anxiousness suffocates our joy. It snaps us out of the good that we have. And we live a life of wanting to be more, wanting more, or not having enough, or not being good enough, or whatever it may be. So what I would suggest is, and I'm trying to give you practical stuff today, I would make a list. While my mind is clear, while I'm thinking pretty clear, I'd make a list of the good things God's done for me. Now that may be a whole notebook, but I'd make a list. And I would make a list and I'd start at how God has blessed us. By the way, if we've obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that ought to be number one. He's given us Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed on the cross. And through this water, I can contact that blood. And because I can contact that blood, I can be saved today. That ought to be number one. That's what God's done for me. And then we could go down the list. You know, in my situation, I've got a great wife, I've got a great family, I've got a great job, I've got great health, I've got, you know, I can go down and down and down and down and down. And here's what happened. Write on that notebook, anxious days. And when you have anxious days, and if you've got someone, and by the way, if you're a spouse to someone in here, be patient, okay? Somebody that's struggling with this, again, it can suck the joy out of a Christian. It tries to suffocate it out. And so when we have those days, spouses remind us gently, hey, get your notebook out. Get your notebook out. And then look at the good things God's done. Let's remind ourselves of what God has done. We need to make a list. We need to realize what has God done. Do you know why I say, and I tried to do this morning, we didn't ride together as a family, so we didn't get to do this, but we try to do this every Lord's Day as much as we can. What is God, how has God blessed me lately? How have I seen God lately? The reason I harp on that so much, you've heard me say that, I write about it in the book, that's the thing that we can do as families. The more we see good, the more we see God, the less room we have for the devil to get into our brains. You see, we've got to see the good. We've got to see what God's done. Paul said it from a prison cell. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I know it's hard when you're in those dark days to see that. So that's why I'm saying do it when the days aren't so dark. Man, put that book in your safe at home. Put it somewhere safe that it won't get destroyed, because that is as valuable as any money you might have. When you have a clear mind and a mind that can see the good, it far outweighs diamonds and rubies. But we've got to celebrate the goodness of God. What has God done for me? Note this. That on that list there will be no bad things, because all good and all perfect gifts come from above. God does good. Jesus Christ, the shortest biography of Jesus in all the Bible, said simply this: He went about doing good. The things in your anxious times book, anxious days book, they will be good. Celebrate the goodness of God. Secondly, these all go hand in hand now. Ask God for help. Ask God for help. Listen to this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You remember in Hezekiah, I knew it was a Iah in there. In Hezekiah, when King Sennacherib of the Assyrian army, yeah, you heard me say this, I love this story, I've used it in my life personally. That's why I'm so passionate about it. I've seen it work. But he gave him a bad news letter. Sennacherib was bad to the bone, so to speak, okay? The Assyrians were taking over. They were destroying everything in sight. So he sends a letter to King Hezekiah and he says, "You're next. I'm taking my army and I'm coming after you." What did that cause? That caused anxiety. That caused anxiousness in his life. So what did he do? He took that scroll and he got and in the place where he said his prayer, and he spread it out right here. Here's the bad news. I'm spread it out right here, and he prayed over it. God, take this away. Take this away. He spread it out. Read it. It says that he spread it out before the Lord, and he gave it to God. By the way, one angel came and killed 100,000 plus of the Assyrian army. Sennacherib's own children turned on him and killed him, and God took care of it. My point to that is this. If you've got an anxiety struggle, spread it out before the Lord. Find your war room. Find your closet. Find your floor. Whatever it may be. I am not afraid to get my face prostrate on the ground and say, God, take it away. Take it away. If we believe there is a God, and he's got our best interest, that we better believe he'll take it away. We serve the God who knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows our names. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. He knows just what we need. Let's ask him for help. James 5. Beginning in verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Pray if we're suffering. Sing praises if we're not. I like that verse. Let me say this. You might not feel up to pray. You might not feel like you can say the word. That's where we're thankful that the Holy Spirit will take our jumbled up jargon and he'll make it pretty and he'll present it to God. Folks, God's got it all figured out. No matter where we are, no matter how much we struggle, ask God for help. Thirdly, what do we do when we ask him for help? Leave it with him. Leave it with him. Now listen, aside from all this, I said there's clinical side to it that makes some of this almost impossible. I'm not talking to that side right now. I'm talking to those who have occasional anxiousness. But we need to leave it with God. We need to leave it with the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we spread it out before God, and then we say, okay, I'm taking it with me, we're not going to have peace. How many times have we prayed for God to take it and only to realize we keep holding on to it? You know? We've got to, here it comes, let go and let God. Let go and let God. Again, anxiety is the first cousin of worry. Worry and anxiety want to drain the peace from our lives. And if we're not careful, they will pull the plug. There'll be no peace. Worry and anxiety will pull it. Some today may be thinking, well, it's been a long time since I've had peace in my life. You see, because if you're struggling with this, your mind is constantly at war. Because that's exactly what anxiety will do. It will keep us in turmoil all the time. The devil wants nothing more for us to be miserable. But what we've got to do is take control back. We've got to take it back. Sometimes we do that on our own with God's help. We just make a decision. You're not taking anything else from me. I'm taking my life back. I'm taking my peace back. I'm taking what you suffocated from me back. Sometimes we can do that, again, on our own. Sometimes it's with proper medication. Just the reality of it. By the way, if you do have to take medication for this, don't think you're weak. Don't think you're a bad Christian. There are so many stereotypes about people taking medication. By the way, can medication be abused? Certainly, water can be abused. A person that drowns so gets too much water. I mean, that sounds horrible, but that's reality. Okay? When medication is given through God's help, through answered prayer, He wants us to take it. Okay, tear down the stereotype. If somebody has diabetes, we don't ridicule them for taking their insulin. We can't ridicule somebody with an imbalance chemically for taking their medicine. God doesn't want us to be in constant turmoil. Or even those who are close. By the way, we may be in constant turmoil, and we might make our wife or husband or whoever else in that way too. God doesn't want anybody to be in turmoil through His children. He wants peace that passes all understanding. So let's allow it to happen. Finally, this morning, we need to meditate on these things. You see the text there. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Alright, notebook number two, make another list. We talk about God's goodness, right? This list can go hand in hand. Here's another list. By the way, make time to do this. Don't just let it be listserv. I think it would benefit all of us. Because we all have days that are bad. We all have days that are struggles. But we need to say, what's true in my life? Ask the right question. What's true in my life? Then make the list. True, the things that we know are constants in our life. What's honorable in my life? List it down. What's right in my life? Make the list. What's pure in my life? What's lovely in my life? What's admirable in my life? You know what happens once we have that list? We need to block off some time. And we need to meditate on those things. The true, the honorable, the right, the pure, the lovely, the admirable. Meditate on these things. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask God for help. Leave it with Him. Meditate on these things. When you put it all together, you know what we have? Calm. Celebrate, ask, lead, meditate. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. We thank You so much for Your Son. We thank You that You desire of us to be saved. You desire of us to be loved. You desire of us to have peace. Father, there may be some today who do not have any of those things. I pray, Father, if there are those here who are not saved, that they will make the decision to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ today. That they will have their sins washed away and that burden can be lifted off of them. Father, if there be those here today that do not feel loved, help us be reminded today that You are loved. That You are the one who loves us even when we are unlovable. Father, if there be those today who have been suffocated by anxiety, worry, guilt, and it's just draining everything they have out of them and their lives are in complete turmoil, help us be reminded today that You desire us to have peace. Help us be Help us, Father, to celebrate what you've done. Help us to ask you and spread it out before you. Help us to leave it with you. Help us to meditate on the good things in our lives that you have for us. Father, help us to have calm. Help us to have peace. Help us to live our lives for you every day. Forgive us for the times that we failed you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need, come right now together.